It's Magnum Podcast. I'm Jason Snell, joined as always by Philip Michaels and David J. Lohr. Hi, guys.
No, I'm really Steve Lutz. I'm with Naval Intelligence. No, my name is Glenn Fleischman.
I'm Michael Phillips. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
The
Can't
mustache.
You tell by my jaunty mustache?
The mustache changes the mustache. Everything.
And my monocle.
You don't look a thing like Michael Phillips.
I thought that since we're back for another season of whatever this nonsense is, that we would start with, first off, the episode that brings Magnum back from the dead, and then we would do another episode where somebody comes back from the dead, which is season 5, episode 3, Mac's Back, in which Mac, Magnum's friend who was killed by Ivan when the Ferrari exploded and Did You See the Sunrise, doesn't return because he's dead, but there's the same actor and they're going to call him Mac. And just like the episode we discussed last time, spends a whole episode doing something they probably didn't need to do and shouldn't have done, which is say, let's rehash what happened in the warehouse when Magnum almost died but didn't die. This episode takes a long time to basically say, hey, we like this actor and we want to have him back, and we killed him off, so we're going to bring him back, and he's basically the same but a little different, but basically the
Jason,
same.
Jason, I hate to interrupt you, but I want to introduce a new segment.
Okay.
That I'd like to call Tales from the Tales of the Gold Monkey.
Okay. Excellent.
With your host, David Lohr. He didn't know he was hosting this segment, but I'm going to throw it to him because I believe he is actually the foremost expert on Tales of the Gold Monkey, at least the only one with an earshot. So, David, why don't you tell us about what took Jeff McKay off of Magnum and why he was suddly reavailable?
Sorry, hold on just one second. Well, just one second. Tales from the Gold Monkey with your host, David J. Lohr.
Anyway,
that was a gold
bring him back alive. Wait, no, wrong well, 80s show. Oh.
Well, in the same year, because that was the same year,
yes.
All the networks were obsessed with trying to copy Raiders of the Lost Ark. Meanwhile, Don Bellisario really liked Terry and the Pirates, so he managed to convince ABC to do this show that was basically Terry and the Pirates in Raiders of the Lost Ark guise, and he hired Stephen Collins to star, and he hired Jeff McKay to be the sidekick. And if you watch the pilot, I think it's the pilot, has John Hillerman as a special guest star. And it has Marta Dubois, who we know as Michelle from Magnum. She's a regular in this too. And, you know, various Magnum people show up throughout the season. And he was like, I don't know if we can have Jeff McKay in this show that's going to run for 7 or 8 years, clearly, and still have time for him on Magnum. So let's give him a big, explosive farewell for Magnum PI so that he's free to do Tales of the Gold Monkey.
Which will run for 1,000 years.
It'll be brilliant. That's the show that's going to make him a fortune. Not this Hawaiian PI thing that they called him in because Glenn Larson can't write. No, it's going to be this adventure show. And then sure enough, ABC was like, what the hell is this? And canceled it within the year. I have the DVD. I have the whole series. It's a fun show.
That's why you're the host of this segment, David, of course.
Yes.
That's right. I'm the only one of us who has the show.
I'm the host of Bring Him Back Alive.
The other fascinating thing about Tales of the Gold Monkey is that they have Ron Moody in the pilot replaced by Roddy McDowell for the series. And the theme song by Mike Post is basically the A-Team theme. You can run the two of them in counterpoint.
Is this a backdoor pilot for your Tales of the Gold Monkey podcast?
That's right. It's called Monkey Business. It'll be on the Incomparable later this spring. And that's the whole series, actually, right there.
So they canceled it. And Jeff McKay, they're like, okay, well, we regret killing Mac, so let's bring him back in a way where he basically can still be Mac, but with a fake mustache.
Yes.
Well, and Bellisario literally felt bad because he was like, I killed you off this, you know, surefire recurring thing, and I'll figure out a way to bring you back. And he wrote the first three, the first episode of this was a two-parter, but he wrote these first two episodes. And part of it was to be like, okay, we're going to do this really super dramatic, super romantic, suspense, awful, horrible season premiere and give Magnum all this trauma. And then we'll have this lighthearted episode where we bring back Jeff McKay.
Except it's not so lighthearted at the beginning.
No.
I love to think that we had a two-part episode that involves a shocking suicide because we need to get Jeff McKay back in the show. That is the thing I love. That is an elaborate setup. Well, that is right? Playing the long con.
Let me give you my
in the traditional Bellisario fashion. Mm-hmm. We get that shot. Literally, from the end of the previous episode about three or four times in this one. Mm-hmm.
Let me give you the TV Guide log line for this episode. It's essentially this. A suicide of someone close to Magnum makes him question his sanity. The appearance of a doppelganger for his dead best friend leads everyone else to also question his sanity. Good news, he's just a con man who's gaslighting Magnum, and everything's fine.
Wow.
Yay! Yeah,
so we have all... we have the flashback with really should be scored by the Jim Carroll band with people who died, because it's basically if you died in a Magnum PI episode, Magnum's thinking about you. Yes. Right now, because yep. You get Mac exploding and you get the
a
lady
few times.
The lady from last week shooting yourself, and you get that clip where Michelle is and Magnum
it's
is
the
shot.
Same clip.
It's the colonel who Magnum kills. Boy, I bet there will be no future repercussions for that killing.
He didn't have a brother, did he?
Yeah. So, and then we cut to Magnum on the beach, and the first thing that I wrote down in my notes was the last temptation of Selleck, because the mustache is gone into this beard. And
yes.
His Magnum has seen some shit, people, because he has been drinking beer all day. His eyes are red, and even the Dobermans are not giving him guff. They are just sitting by him, What a perfect time to be chided by a chubby man in a cricket outfit.
He's drinking beer, and then he throws the bottle in the water, Higgins tells him no littering, but what's best about that scene is that when he throws the bottle in the water, the lads growl, because the lads also do not approve of littering, so then he has to go get the bottle.
That's right. And I will point out that the colonel that Michelle is screaming about, that Magnum kills, is played by Clyde Kusatsu, of Bring Him Back Alive.
Oh.
Oh, there you go.
Take notes, Phil.
It's CBS's Bring Him Back Alive.
So, interesting way that this episode handles Magnum's crack up is that Magnum, you know, he talks to Higgins. He says, I know that this is self-destructive and I don't care is the problem and whatever. And then...
Well, and that speech that Higgins gives him is actually really solid. That is one of the great character moments between the two of them.
And I like that Magnum's reaction is that he's fully aware of what he's doing. He just doesn't care. It's like he's not unaware. He's doing this on purpose. He's sort of doing this out of spite for himself. He wants to be self-destructive now. But what makes Magnum hit rock bottom and makes everybody worry for his sanity is he's driving down the Ferrari down the street in Honolulu, and he sees his old buddy Mac.
After drinking a lot of beers,
he sees his buddy Mac crossing the crosswalk at the traffic light, and he's so amazed that he's seeing his dead buddy Mac that he steps out of the Ferrari as the light changes, wanders across the street, people honk at him, and shouts at Mac, doesn't get an answer, a cop stops him, and then it's sort of like cut to Intervention, where they are convinced that Magnum is going insane, and he says he's seen Mac, and also thinks he's going insane. I mean, fortunately, it's nothing that a good night's sleep won't solve.
Yes.
Because how this show handles mental illness is that literally Magnum's you're right, I got to get my head straight. I'll take a nap and then shave my beard.
Not just a nap. We're going to pump you full of horse tranquilizers.
So much Seconal.
Right?
Enough Seconal to knock out a horse. Yeah.
Rick's going to shave your beard?
I think Magnum shaved himself because Rick and DC essentially fell asleep on the couch spooning one another. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
There's
a can
of shaving cream
Stalag 17
to indicate that the shaving has gone on if you missed the fact that Magnum doesn't have his beard anymore.
What, What Rick does is Rick gives him a haircut, I believe. If I'm remembering the tonsorial process of this.
Tonsorial.
Magnum shaves himself.
This is a new segment.
Okay.
Yes.
Who's shaving Magnum?
Who shaved Magnum now?
I mean, Carol shaved him in the previous episode.
Brought to you by Barbasol.
So I wanted to ask, was this all fake, or did they shoot this episode first and have Tom Selleck grow his hair a little bit and grow a beard before they came back for the season? Because this is episode 3 of season 5.
I think they filmed it out of sequence, and that he filmed, this was the first thing they filmed after coming out of hiatus for the summer. Would be my guess.
Because that is a really good looking beard.
It's a good looking
beard. It looks real.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
And if you're shooting a show like this, this is your only chance to have the character be like super off, because you can't have him grow a beard, you know, over the weekend for the next episode, but you could have him grow the beard.
I suspect that Tom Selleck can grow a beard pretty damn quick.
Yeah, but this is a shaggy beard.
This is a thick, luxurious beard. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I have a feeling that it was the first thing they filmed when they got back. Yeah.
That was what I was wondering.
Yeah. The weird thing about this episode, too, is, you know, when you think about it, all that talk about, oh, this is the first show to really focus on Vietnam veterans, and you sort of treats that realistically, and you think, okay, this is a man who's been to Vietnam, but it's Sharon Stone that sends him rock bottom.
This is what spirals him. Yes, in the grand scheme of Magnum, this is a show that actually does have things to say about post-traumatic stress, about being a Vietnam veteran, about taking mental illness seriously, and also it has this episode. Which does none of those things, really.
We shot him full of pills. He's fine.
He's fine.
I mean, there were moments like when Higgins says, you know, it's the cycle of life, and it's understandable when we've gone to war, and when you're in a profession like yours. And at the same time, I think about the private investigators I actually know who are like, yeah, we just like look stuff up on the internet.
We're
a profession like yours.
He means starring on an action adventure TV series on the CBS television network, obviously. So what this leads to, though, is we shift gears into sort of regular Magnum for a minute. Now that it falls back out of that because nobody believes him. But the episode goes from being Magnum thinks he's going crazy to Magnum sees somebody and everybody else thinks he must be crazy because it is this Mac guy who is actually real. But it leads to what I think is a legitimately great scene, which is Magnum gets his camera with the long lens. He's looking at that intersection from up in a restaurant. He is eating and narrating as he goes. He stays there the whole day. He has breakfast. He has ice cream. He has dinner.
He has a hot dog.
He has all of this stuff as he sits out on that deck. He's obviously just keeps paying them. They know that he's there for a stakeout. He's probably done this before. And
it's great to see him do an actual stakeout.
And he's doing a stakeout.
And
he's doing narration the whole time. He's got that whole thing about how like all the people with the white skin go to the beach and they come back as lobsters at the end of the day, and it's a migration, and you see it, and like I really like all of that, and it's very you know, noir detective narration
it's
that
very
Magnum PI at its best does, and I really like it here.
Mm-hmm. The one thing in that scene that drove me crazy is take pictures.
Yeah,
take pictures.
Yeah, that was the thing I didn't understand. Because later on he's all, no, I didn't take any pictures. Well, then you're a terrible detective.
Yeah.
And it's like, you are literally an idiot.
What do you mean you were using the camera? Well, you wouldn't let me have Robin's telescope. Yes. That's why that happens.
Also, he leaves the camera behind. I assume that the waiters know it's his and it's fine and all that, but still.
My note literally says, take pictures, then take camera.
Yes, please. So then he stalks Mac. He finds Mac. He stalks him. Discovers that he is, after he buys an ice cream, he's Father Jim. Oh, he's Father Jim, and he's got a little cross on his collar, and he's not Mac at all, although he looks like
he's
Mac.
He's a Navy chaplain.
And so he's like, oh, well, you know, isn't this an amazing coincidence that I look so much like your friend? Oh, okay.
I'll come have lunch with you at the King Kamehameha Club and meet all your friends so that they don't think you're a crazy person.
Right. So he doesn't show up, although Higgins has a story that starts out as somebody who's a dead ringer for somebody who's connected to Mountbatten. But
it's a dead ringer for his mother. But the line, God bless John Hillerman for saying the line, Lord Mountbatten's Batman. How did he get through that? He was serving as Lord Mountbatten's Batman.
And there's several moments where all the other characters in that scene do the thing with Higgins where they're like, Higgins, get, can you, what's the point? He's like, oh, yes.
She,
and then he continues on. And you're like, no,
mother,
you didn't get to it.
It was very disturbing.
Oh. So he doesn't show up, but that's okay. So we got a basketball scene. People are paying basketball. Magnum's playing. And then he's like, hey. And it's a guy with a fake mustache, like Mac's fake mustache. And he says, oh, did you remember? You wouldn't remember me, but yeah, we play basketball. Like, it's me, Father Jim Hiller. And Magnum's like, oh, I am crazy. Oh no. Oh no.
I think it was good recon work by fake Mac to actually look something like the priest he was impersonating.
That's right.
So that was great. Good job, con man.
So, which leads to a scene where he shows up at the beach at the estate and says, I just walked along the beach. And he says, he shows him his ID. He says he's actually an NIA officer. You can call me Mac if you want. And except that
I go by many names, honey.
but he's sitting positioned in a way, and this is a scene that I thought, this is, come on guys, is Higgins and the boys are watching Magnum sit out on the beach, and they can't see Mac, and they think he's talking to the lads, that's perfectly sane, by the way, talking to the dogs that Higgins says that's fine, but they think
the dogs are excellent good listeners.
So
yes.
Is Mac a ghost only Magnum can see? I don't know. We don't know yet.
And the whole time they're there, Doc Eibold is there. Doc Eibold is spending a lot of time at the mansion these days.
Yeah,
and he keeps getting distracted as he's explaining the difference between hallucinations and delusions. He's getting distracted by these surprisingly thematic books in Robin's library. So, you know, there's Harvey about the imaginary rabbit and For Whom the Bell Tolls and Cabin Island about ghosts.
For Whom the Bell Tolls. Very sexy,
sexy
for the
book.
Time.
Not what I would use to describe For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Nope.
Doc.
No.
Nope.
Eibold? Why are you hearing
too much about Doc Eibold?
You're not a medical doctor, are you?
At least he described medical deviant, more like it. No. So, at least he described For Whom the Bell Tolls as sexy and not say the Hardy Boys. Oh, yeah, those Hardy Boys, they really get me going.
So
if he started describing Harvey as sexy, I mean.
Yeah.
So Fake Mac talks Magnum into doing a job for the NIA for him, which is going into this illegal card game, which
where
is
Marines
very
are being cheated by a local gangster.
Magnum, who should be smart but is actually very dumb, he shows up and basically Mac takes all the money and says this is a raid, takes all the money and then says, well, Magnum will take it from here, and he leaves, and Magnum's like, oh no, I have been completely had.
Well, he goes, your men are downstairs, right?
Yep.
I'm going to go check on them. And then Magnum has that narration of, there comes a time in your life when you know you've been had. This was that time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then, he tries to talk his way out, but then some sailors bust down the door and Lance LeGault is there with them.
And there he is.
And
Buck Green.
I love
Deus ex LeGault.
Yes.
Whatever else about Buck Green, I love Lance LeGault's voice and I love his delivery.
And here he saves the day twice in this episode for Magnum.
Well, it's your convenient Buck Green.
Yeah.
I had a friend in college, by the way, who named one of his intramural sports teams Lance LeGault's Heroes. So there we go.
I mean, Glenn Larson once described his voice as being four octaves below God's, and he's not wrong.
So LeGault, as Buck Green, gets him out of this situation, but of course Magnum's dressed like a naval officer and he takes him back to the base. He's not gonna press charges, but he gets the story out of him about like a guy who looks like Mac, but he's not Mac, and which is important later because
He doesn't. He doesn't give that up. He just keeps saying the name Mac. He doesn't give the details.
Right.
Because then Buck would have solved it on the spot.
Oh, okay. So he hears about it later. Because he does figure it out later that there's a guy who looks like Mac and he realizes who it must be.
Because he says, you know, you kept calling the guy Mac and I thought there's only one man that could be.
All right, so it's enough for him to put it together.
Tom Waits is in this episode. Wow.
He actually lets
Tom
Magnum
Waits
go.
From Bring Him Back Alive.
I read that as that he's letting Magnum go because he's actually puzzling out what's going on here, and he's going to just work that on his own because he's Lance LeGault, and he's not going to worry about stupid Magnum and his stupid tricks.
Yeah, because Buck Green is smart for once.
So Magnum now does a good bit of detective work and goes back to the businesses that he saw fake Mac go into, including an ice cream store, which leads to our new segment.
What's on the
ice cream menu with Philip Michaels?
I love how no one gets to introduce their own segments, and it's a surprise. I myself in the production meeting voted for ice cream, you scream. We all scream about ice cream. Yeah, so as we're watching this episode, I noted the wonder of the fact that, you know, we've all got very high resolution TVs these days that we can pause at any time, and we can whip out the little computer camera phones in our pockets and take photos. Because let me just read some of the menu items that are on the board behind the actor playing ice cream parlor man. Why, Jason, you could have some fudge chunks and chips. Or you can have fudge chunks chips.
Mm.
You can have Jamaica Mousse Royale or Peanut Butter Royale or Chocolate Mousse Royale. You can have chocolate almond. You could have chocolate chip. You could have macadamia chocolate chip. You could have other variants. Basically, there are three flavors at this ice cream parlor.
Irish Cream Supreme is there. That's slightly different.
There are two, berry, strawberry. Yes, there are two fruit flavors, very berry strawberry and banana split. Not an ice cream flavor. It's a type of sundae.
Yes.
Ice cream.
There's a rum. There's a rum raisin. There's a praline almonds cream. But I think you're right. Fudge chunks chips and fudge chunks chips.
That's the same flavor.
So we can make fun of the set decorator here, but I think this is an accurate portrayal of how badly labeled an ice cream parlor in the mid 80s in Honolulu would be.
In a tourist trap location.
That, by the way,
that
one,
actor
one
insisted
scoop,
on it because he's a method actor.
One scoop, 79 cents. Two scoops, $1.29.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good deal.
In the mid 80s, that is a tourist trap gouging, is what that is.
That is $20 of ice cream, please.
Anyway, our next portion of this segment, Phil, and you may not have been aware of this, even though you host this segment, is what are you ordering from the menu here?
Well, I guess I'd get the chocolate mint because mint, I like it, the mint. That's my favorite flavor, to quote Chico.
David?
Or actually misquote Chico.
Well, because I fell in love with the chocolate mousse quarter pounder when I was in France, I will get the chocolate mousse royale.
All right.
Which is what they call it over here.
And I'm going to need a couple of tasters before I decide, because I can't decide between the peanut butter ampersand chocolate and the peanut butter fudge. Because it would seem that they were the same, but they're not, obviously not.
Young man, they are all just peanut butter and chocolate.
The ampersand has less n, and the n has not as much ampersand.
Anyway, that's been what ice cream are you ordering from the fake ice cream parlor in Magnum PI with Philip Michaels.
And why aren't you getting Hawaiian shave ice?
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
He doesn't have that concession.
Yes.
That's
friends,
the guy next door.
Right. Friends who listen to this podcast, if you have not been to Hawaii, please go. It is one of the most wonderful places in the world. And when you're there, have the shave ice. And you're saying to yourself, well, I don't know. Isn't shave ice just a very weirdly worded, shouldn't it be shaved? No, it's not shaved ice. It is shave ice. Isn't it just a snow cone? Friend, it's not just a snow cone. Imagine a snow cone with ice cream at the bottom. That's what shave ice is, and you should have it. This has been Jason Snell for Shave Ice.
I feel like the Shave Ice industry is sponsoring this podcast now.
I gave that one for free because Shave Ice is the best.
Okay. All right.
It's the best.
As someone who grew up always wanting the Snoopy snow cone machine, and I still don't have it, talk about Rosebud. Why isn't there a Magnum Shave Ice machine for the home?
Also, I will say, now having sold the virtues of Shave Ice, also, if there's a Lappert's ice cream in Hawaii, go to that because their ice cream is really good. Mm. That's my Hawaiian ice cream segment.
Okay.
Get the peanut butter and fudge.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about Mank now, where Herman Mankiewicz is writing a script where Charles Foster Kane goes, Snoopy ice cream machine.
Right.
And then he brings the script to Orson Welles and goes, this is the worst thing you've ever written. You're fired, you miserable drunk.
Mank,
what even by, is
Mank, by the way, it's a documentary of the making of Robin Masters' latest book.
Yeah, yes, it is.
I think.
Well, and featuring Magnum PI's Orson Welles.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. It all connects.
Last week when we talked about the episode with Infinity and Jelly Donuts and all of that, we didn't even mention the fact that there's just a little tidbit of the Who is Robin Masters plot, which I despise. But there's only a touch of that. So anyway, he goes into the watch store next. We're not going to play what watch would you buy in the watch store, but the watch guy says, yes, I also donated to the scam thing that this guy is doing, but he's coming to pick up his watch later today. And Magnum's like,
which features a great take to the camera by Tom Selleck.
Oh yeah.
It's like, that's one of his best.
It's me detecting. I'm a detective. See, that was me. Private investigator. I'm investigating.
In my notes, I have, this is another Belisario script where he forgets how to be a detective until the fourth act.
Yes. And then he figures
because
it out.
Because it is literally, and you know, he says right up front, it's Chekhov's photo in his wallet. He says, I carry a photo of Mac and Julie and me at Luau Louis the night he died.
Yeah.
And you have this photo where you could just show it to people and be like, do you recognize this guy? But nope.
Yep.
Nope. Didn't think of it
until now. Well, that's because
didn't take photos.
If he did it sooner, they'd solve the plot.
Yep.
So no, he can't do that.
Yep.
So anyway, he does indeed catch fake Mac at the jewelry store, and he's going to get justice. Except the guys from the card game come, and they're gonna beat him up.
Duck Ho and his sidekicks.
And he throws Magnum under the bus immediately, and he's just like, oh, where did you put the money? He's like, oh, what are you doing? Like, it's in the trunk, it's in the bonnet. And of course, then there's another fight where it's like, you take the ones on your side, I'll take the ones on my side. And then when Magnum starts to fight these armed and muscly guys, fake Mac just runs away. Later, he says,
one of whom is a professional wrestler on my side. Yes. One of whom is a professional wrestler, I should point out.
Mm.
I think if you see the episode, you can guess which one.
I think it's the big guy.
Yeah, there's a really, really, really big guy.
Now, there is a wonderful freeze frame at the end of the shots in the preview at the beginning of the show where Magnum, the guy is coming towards Magnum, and Magnum is just like, all right. Yeah!
He's going to do a body slam. It's literally a wrestling move. He's going to do a body slam there.
And it is like a great freeze frame of his face looking panicked.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because that whole little bit of business, which is actually pretty funny, is that Magnum keeps hitting him and stuff. And it just does nothing to this guy because he's enormous. Yeah. And you get the sense that Magnum's not going to make it out of this. But guess what? Lance the Galt is there.
Buck Green.
Yes.
Everybody freeze.
Magnum, I've run in again. Two sex the Galtia.
And by the way, I knew it had to be this guy.
Yep.
Because I remember how much he looked like Mac, and every time you said Mac, it made me think of that.
What is this plot?
I don't know.
Stop that.
And then, so the next big thing we get is Magnum appears at the house again, and he's like, ha-ha, everybody. Because they apparently just hang around Robin Masters' estate talking about how worried they are about Magnum being crazy.
About Magnum, yes. Is Magnum crazy or not? We're in the fourth day of our discussion. Yeah.
On the way there, though. Well, so, like, Lance LeGault goes, good to see you again, Jim. And he's like, what? Or Travis. No, it's Travis.
Travis.
Yeah, his name is Jim Travis.
After he's already said his name is Jim Bonnick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so then we get Magnum driving him back to the estate and saying, well, he explained that actually his name really was Jim Bonnick, and he traded names with this Joe Travis
guy. As part of some scam that they ran when they were kids.
To get out of something, and then he got drafted into this stuff and this and that. And, you know, we're anticipating the plot of Mad Men by a couple of decades. Yep. And, you know, it's like, What the hell is his name? Well, it might as well be Mac. What the hell?
Spoilers for Mad Men, by the way. Who cares? So he gets, Magnum gets there, and there again, it's the fourth day of the what are we going to do with Magnum Society. And he's like, I know what you're thinking. I know you think I'm crazy, Magnum says with the crazy eyes, but I'm not crazy. He's real. He's really real. Come on in, Mac. And he doesn't come in. And it's like, oh, Magnum, you really have lost it. And then Magnum kind of like goes over and reaches and does a little like, he could might as well just get a big hook or something. It's just like,
yeah,
wah, wah. And everybody goes, yoink. Oh, yeah, he does look like Mac. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Great. Great. So anyway, it's okay now. I guess we can dismantle the Is Magnum Crazy Society, because this guy actually, we sold it. Like, everybody then looks at the camera and says, have we sold that we brought this guy back and it's the same actor, but he's a different guy? Which leads us to
then,
a last scene.
For some reason, he decides to leave them alone and go off and reflect on the beach.
He's going
to
light a cigar.
Have the cigar that he stole off of Higgins' desk.
And think about things. And his
think
cigar.
Think about all the people who died.
Who died.
Sigmund, I guess.
Because he's not this okay.
This is his in memoriam Sigmund, maybe.
I brought one back. Maybe I could bring them all back.
But they don't have mustaches.
Now.
Oh, no.
I shaved my beard and he came back.
Great, come back with mustaches. It's terrible.
Because he shaved.
So
right?
Mac lights a cigar out there without a mustache.
Without a mustache.
And as a savvy television viewer, I'm like, but wait, he didn't have a mustache. And this being a show from the 80s when people were a little less savvy, there's literally a moment where Magnum goes, huh? And then we cut back to where Mac was, and there's nobody there. And he's like, but
they laugh at each other for a while.
But,
while.
Like, we pulled it off, friend. We got me back on the show. I think everyone bought it.
And then, whoop. He's not there.
Yeah.
Was he a ghost?
The mustache.
As we learned.
It was the mustache.
In what was supposed to be the final episode, but wasn't. Yes, he was a ghost of Mac. Mac is a ghost now. Mac is Magnum's guardian angel. Also, the actor playing Mac is this other guy now, too. Also that. Mm-hmm. Welcome back, Jeff McKay.
Yes.
So,
oh, thanks, Jason. I'm really glad to be here. I used to be on Tales of the Gold Monkey for a while. Have you heard about the new podcast that discusses Tales of the Gold Monkey? It's pretty good. Not as good as the Bring It Back Live podcast, but I like it. Anyhow, I'm Jeff McKay. You can ask me about this or my appearance as Bud's dad and Jag. Those are the only two things I can tell you about. Bye!
Oh, but not now. He's left. Oh, no.
No, he's gone.
Oh, wow.
He's a man of mystery. He's in another room with his mustache back on.
That's a new.
And I wanted to ask him.
That's our new segment. Ask Jeff McKay.
Yes.
With Philip Michaels.
I wanted to ask him about Galactica and Black Sheep Squadron.
Nope. Well, if you've got any questions for beloved Donald Belisario contract player Jeff McKay, please write in to the Magna Podcast, and we'll have Jeff McKay or a remarkable facsimile answer your questions.
Yeah. So to write in, send a fax. Yeah, set it by fax to 808-555 Magnum.
Or you could send a Hawaiian postcard that you buy next to an ice cream shop that has three flavors.
Yeah. If you're in Hawaii and you buy a postcard, all you have to write on the postcard is Magnum Podcast, and it will get to us.
Yep.
It will get to us.
We have an arrangement with the
Hawaiian
Postal Service.
With the 50. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you want to use a telex, we don't have a telex.
Or if you have your Jeff McKay shaped light, you just put it up in the sky and we'll be there.
Yep, that sounds about right. Well, what I'm saying is, Mac's back.
Yeah.
Anything we haven't covered? We did the ice cream bit. Anything else that's left?
not to tell tales out of school. We had a momentary argument about this episode, talking about it before we started recording. Because and I'll defend this episode. Apart from the Magnum PI metaphysical stuff, which is tedious and awful.
Yeah, it's like death. Yeah,
usually. Yeah.
I enjoy the stupid caper with the, I'm going to leave you holding the bag while I take the money away. Bye, Magnum. I like that.
It's the Magnum is crazy stuff that I hate. the wacky caper.
That doesn't work at all.
Stuff like I would have preferred if this episode was like Magnum is too credulous about this guy who he thinks is Mac, and he eggs him on into believing it, and he plays along, and Magnum gets into lots of trouble before he finally realizes he's being dumb. But this whole veneer of like the is Magnum crazy society as Doc Eibold, you know, walks through all of the books on Higgins' bookshelf, that stuff is not
no,
so
that's
great.
Very bad. But the other stuff is pure Magnum. Plus, I just love Lance LeGault running in at every yes. time there's a. Every time there's a dilemma, Lance LeGault runs in. We're expecting Magnum and not Mac at dinner later, and they're not sure which wine to use. And Lance LeGault should run in and goes, "Are you having fish? Have a white." And runs off.
Now, Magnum, I hate you, but I hate this guy worse, so I'm going to take him in. You get off lightly this time.
Okay.
Oh, Lance
LeGault. I mean, I love the caper plot part of it, and it's just... Every time they do a show like this, you want to say to Rick and T.C. and Higgins, do you remember the last time you questioned his sanity? He was right then, too. Mm-hmm. Every time. And they just, drives me nuts.
A little wacky.
And, you know, but the part about trying to bring back Jeff McKay, you know, it's kind of cheesy, but it works in that 80s detective show kind of way.
I just wish it had been a little less serious, right? I wish they had gotten even wackier with it and just had the con man heist thing and not... Yeah. I remember this episode. I only remember the con man heist wacky stuff. I didn't remember the Magnum's Gone Crazy stuff at all, and the Magnum's Gone Crazy stuff does not work. Because, again, for a show that takes... the trauma of GIs from Vietnam and mental illness and all of these things seriously at times. And this episode is just, it's the wacky Magnum. Like, it's like he might as well have like gotten hit over the head with a coconut or something. It's just ludicrous.
Oh yeah. And it's the kind of show where if you didn't know it was written by the creator, you'd have sworn it was by like a contract guy who came in the fifth season and been like, I can write a cheap PI.
Now,
but no.
Now, the Bible of Magnum Podcast, magnum-mania.com, on its page about this episode, I just want to point out, it says, the producers of Magnum PI found a, quote, creative, close quote, way to work Jeff McKay back into the series. And for a website that is a very positive, friendly, nice website about Magnum PI, that is some shade. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yes, that was a beautiful line.
All right. Well,
I was happy to notice when I watched it, because again, I was watching with the AirPods, and the opening credits started up. This is one of the few times where you'll hear a different instrumentation and different arrangement of the theme song.
It literally sounds
and it's
like
crisper.
Another take. It's like literally, I think for some reason, and I don't even know why it got played, it sounds like literally it was another take when they recorded the theme song. And the way you can really tell is that the guitar solo is different.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally just a different guitar solo. Where the guitar gets to do its little solo in the middle and walk around in that kind of lyrical part before driving back into it. Also, it's a little less... it's a little less hitting hard with a dun 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 dun. It's a little like looser.
It's very loose in a good way. The drumming, especially by the end, the drumming. If you haven't noticed it by then, by the last, you know, before he does his little eyebrow waggle, you'll hear it. You'll be like, wait, that's different. That's weird.
Yeah, but I think literally it may have even been somebody that just took the wrong tape. Because it sounds so identical in all other ways that I think it had to have been like take two instead of take four. And for some reason it got in here. Either that or it is the equivalent of putting a mustache on the Magnum PI theme.
Yeah.
Theme's back.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been Magnum Podcast. We'll be back with something else. We probably won't bring back. Let's just say we killed Phil, but he'll be back with a mustache next time.
Yes.
But until then, I've been Jason Snell, and they've been David J. Lohr and Philip Michaels. Bye, guys.
It's okay. You can call me Mac. I go by many names.
I want some ice cream.
I think you'll find that this podcast was very sexy for its time.
Oh, God. Oh, barf. Oh, I don't want ice cream anymore. I don't want ice cream.